Welcome to Music History Monday for December 31st, 2018. I'm Bob Greenberg, and the title for today's podcast is They Should Have Taken a Bus. Today we begin by marking a birth and a death, two anniversaries related to one another in tragedy. You rightly ask, what can be tragic about a birth? Well, nothing in itself. So let us begin by celebrating the birth on December 31st, 1943, 75 years ago today, of the singer-songwriter, record producer, actor, activist, and humanitarian, Henry John Deutschendorf, Jr. I would tell you that Deutschendorf, Jr. got involved in the folk music scene in Los Angeles in his early 20s. It was there in L.A. that he met and befriended Randy Sparks, born 1933, the founder of the New Christy Minstrels. Sparks told the young man that the name Deutschendorf would never fit on a marquee and suggested a name change. According to Deutschendorf, quote, I chose Denver because my heart longed to live in the mountains, unquote. John Denver, as we will now refer to him, was born in Roswell, New Mexico, of Area 51 fame. As an Air Force brat, he grew up a nomad, rarely living more than a few years in one place before moving on once again. He took up the guitar at the age of 11, studied architecture at Texas Tech in Lubbock, Texas, dropped out, moved to LA, changed his name, and started his career. And an impressive career it was. He recorded some 300 songs, of which 200 or so were of his own composition. All told, he sold over 33 million records worldwide and earned 12 gold albums, meaning sales of 500,000 units, and 4 platinum albums, meaning sales of 1 million units. His signature songs dealt with his relationships, his love of nature and dislike of city life, and the joy he found in his adopted home state of Colorado. Those songs include Leaving on a Jet Plane, Annie's Song, Thank God I'm a Country Boy, Take Me Home, Country Roads, Sunshine on My Shoulders, and Rocky Mountain High. Like his father, Air Force Captain Henry John Dutch Deutschendorf, John Denver was a pilot with over 2,700 hours of flight experience. And while Denver was a painter, photographer, skier, and golfer, he'd be the first to tell us that after music, his next greatest love was flying. He owned a Learjet, with which he flew himself to concerts. He owned a Kristen Eagle aerobatic plane, 2 Cessna 210s, and a collection of vintage biplanes. In 1997, he purchased what was considered an experimental plane, a Rutan Long EZ that had been built by a hobbyist from a kit. On October 12, 1997, the 53-year-old Denver was killed when his Rutan Long EZ, registration number N555JD, crashed into Monterey Bay about 100 yards from the beach at Pacific Grove, California. He had been making touch-and-go landings from the nearby Monterey Peninsula Airport when the plane, which was estimated to be at an altitude of between 350 and 500 feet, dove nose-first into the water. According to the National Transportation Safety Board, the NTSB, Denver accidentally pushed the right rudder pedal while he twisted to the left in an attempt to operate the plane's fuel selector valve, which the previous owner had put behind the pilot's seat. The plane disintegrated on impact, as did Denver's body. Facial and dental recognition was impossible. In the end, he could only be identified via fingerprints. The cause of death was listed as blunt force trauma. Yes. Very tragic. Here is the tragically related anniversary. On December 31st, 1985, 33 years ago today, the 45-year-old singer, songwriter, and actor Eric Hilliard, nicknamed Rick Nelson, died when his 14-seat Douglas DC-3 crash-landed in a cow pasture in DeKalb, Texas, northeast of Dallas. Also killed were Nelson's girlfriend, Helen Blair, and the other five members of his band. The two pilots escaped through the cockpit windows, although one of them, Ken Ferguson, was severely burned. Now, I grew up watching The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet television show, which featured the real-life Nelson family, father Ozzie, his wife Harriet, the older son David, and the cute youngster Ricky. Ricky, later just Rick, went on to a career as a teen heartthrob in the late 1950s and 1960s. Over the course of his foreshortened career, he had scored over 30 U.S. charted top 40 singles. Over 30. Ironically, Rick Nelson was morbidly afraid of flying, but he also refused to travel on tour by bus. So he swallowed his fear, and in May of 1985, he bought the DC-3, in which he would die, for $118,000. It had been built back in 1944 during World War II. Following its service in the U.S. military, it was converted to a civil DC-3C in 1959. Along the way, the plane had been owned by the DuPont family and the singer Jerry Lee Lewis. The plane had a long history of mechanical problems, including problems with its cabin heater. On December 31st, 1985, it was en route from Guntersville, Alabama to Dallas when the pilot reported a fire in the cabin. According to witnesses, the plane descended in a left turn in an attempt to land on a farm field. Quote, "It was trailing smoke and small pieces of metal fell off, which started several small fires. The DC-3 struck two power wires suspended about 30 feet above the ground, a utility pole, and several trees. Already on fire, the airplane was completely destroyed." Unquote. The NTSB investigation found that the fire in the passenger cabin had almost certainly started in the onboard cabin heater. But that didn't stop the tabloids from claiming that the fire had been caused by the passengers freebasing cocaine. It was an entirely false claim, denied vehemently by the NTSB, and yet it's still everywhere to be found. Another example of once on the internet, always on the internet. Yes, indeed, Rick Nelson should have taken a bus. Now, in researching this post, I was stunned by how many high-end musical talents have died in plane crashes. In the seasonal spirit of sharing, here's a bunch of other folks who should have taken a bus. Glenn Miller, 1904 to 1944. In Miller's case, he should have taken a boat. As a trombone-playing bandleader, Miller was one of the most popular musicians of the 1930s and 1940s. In 1942, the 38-year-old Miller joined the United States Army as a specialist. Transferred to the Army Air Force, the predecessor of the United States Air Force, Miller eventually formed his 50-piece Army Air Force band, which was recorded and broadcast worldwide. On December 15, 1944, Miller was slated to fly from England to Paris in preparation for moving his band to Paris. It was foggy and freezing cold. Miller should never have flown that evening. But he insisted on going, and so his single-engine UC-64 Norseman left the Royal Air Force Field at Twinwood Farm that evening. Neither Miller nor the plane were ever heard from again. No one knows what happened. At the same time Miller's plane was heading east across the English Channel, a high-altitude flight of English Lancaster bombers was heading west. It had been too stormy for them to drop their bombs over Germany, so they had turned back for England. Before landing, they dropped their bombs over the English Channel. Did this friendly fire destroy Miller's plane? Or did its carburetor simply ice up, as carburetors on UC-64 Norseman were wont to do? We will never know. The day the music died, February 3, 1959, the deaths of Buddy Holly, born 1936, Ritchie Valens, born 1941, and J.P. the Big Bopper Richardson, born 1930. These three musicians were all part of a larger tour called the Winter Dance Party. Buddy Holly, sick and tired of the slow, freezing, and uncomfortable tour buses in which he had been traveling, chartered a single-engine Beechcraft Bonanza to take him from the Mason City, Iowa Municipal Airport to Moorhead, Minnesota. At $36 per passenger, he was joined by Ritchie Valens and J.P. Richardson. Well, talk about another flight that should never have taken off. The night of February 3, 1959 was very cold, visibility was limited, and the weather conditions were deteriorating. Nevertheless, the 21-year-old pilot, Roger Peterson, took off. The plane flew for all of 6 miles before Peterson, suffering from spatial disorientation in this case, descending when he thought he was climbing, crashed the plane, killing everyone on board. Quote, "The right wing tip struck the ground first, sending the aircraft cartwheeling across the frozen field for 540 feet before coming to rest against a fence. The bodies of Holly and Valens had been ejected from the torn fuselage and lay near the plane's wreckage. Richardson's body had been thrown over the fence and into a neighboring cornfield, while Peterson's body was entangled in the wreckage," unquote. A grim postscript. When Buddy Holly found out that his bandmate, Waylon Jennings, had given his seat to Big Bopper Richardson, he teased Jennings, quote, "Well, I hope your old bus freezes up," unquote. To which Jennings replied, quote, "Well, I hope your old plane crashes," unquote. It was a response that Jennings later said haunted him for the rest of his days. Patsy Cline, 1932 to 1963. Yet another ill-advised flight in bad weather on a small plane took the life of the country music and pop singer Patsy Cline, who was born Virginia Patterson Hensley, on March 5, 1963. She was on her way home to Nashville from a benefit concert in Kansas City when the Piper PA-24 Comanche, being piloted by her manager, Randy Hughes, crashed in the woods near Camden, Tennessee. The country singers Hankshaw Hawkins and Cowboy Copas also died on that flight. Sadly, the list goes on. All 8 members of Reba McEntire's band died on the night of March 16, 1991, when the Hawker Siddeley, in which they were flying, crashed into a mountain after taking off from Brown Field Municipal Airport in San Diego. Otis Redding, 1941 to 1967, died on December 10, 1967, when his Beechcraft H-18 crashed again in bad weather into a lake near Madison, Wisconsin. Jim Croce, 1943 to 1973, died on September 20, 1973, when he and 5 others were killed when his chartered Beechcraft E-18S crashed into virtually the only tree in the area during takeoff from the Natchitoches Regional Airport in Natchitoches, Louisiana. On October 21, 1977, the rock band Lynyrd Skynyrd lost its lead singer Ronnie Van Zant and guitarist Stevie Gaines in a plane crash in Macon, Mississippi. Oh, here's a solid nomination for a Darwin Award. On March 19, 1982, the lead guitarist in Ozzy Osbourne's band, Randall Randy Rhoads, 1956 to 1982, was killed along with 2 others when their Beechcraft Bonanza flew too low while buzzing the band's tour bus in Leesburg, Florida. The band had made a pit stop at the palatial home of a millionaire named Jerry Calhoun. Calhoun had his own landing strip, and without permission, the band's bus driver and private pilot, Andrew Aycock, decided to take a little joy flight. With Randy Rhoads and the band's makeup artist, Rachel Youngblood, aboard, Aycock began buzzing the parked tour bus. On the fourth pass, one of the plane's wings clipped the bus, and what happened next reads, ghastly though it may be, like a Roadrunner cartoon. That initial impact of the plane on the bus caused Rhoads and Rachel Youngblood's heads to crash through and out of the plane's windshield. Thus accessorized, the plane spiraled out of control. It severed the top of a pine tree and finally crashed into Calhoun's mansion, where it burst into flames and completely gutted the house. While Rhoads was burned beyond recognition, he was identifiable by his bling, his personal jewelry. According to Sharon Osbourne, quote, "They were all in bits. It was just body parts everywhere," unquote. Actress and R&B singer Aaliyah, 1979 to 2001, was killed in the Bahamas along with eight others on August 25, 2001, when their twin-engine Cessna crashed shortly after takeoff. And helicopters? Oh, let us not forget helicopters. On August 27, 1990, the blues guitarist Stevie Ray Vaughan, 1954 to 1990, died when his Bell 206B helicopter crashed in foggy conditions into a hill in East Troy, Wisconsin, after departing from a concert. And finally, on October 25, 1991, the concert promoter and entrepreneur Bill Graham, 1931 to 1991, his birth name was Wolf Valoria Gryanza, was killed when his Bell 206B helicopter, once again inadvisably flying in bad weather, impaled itself atop a 223-foot-high, high-voltage transmission tower outside Vallejo, California, about 20 miles north of where I am presently recording this. The helicopter, which melted onto the tower, exploded on impact, killing everyone on board. Next time, please, all of you, take the bus! For lots more of my blogs, videos, reviews, and the like, I would invite you to subscribe to my Patreon page at patreon.com/robertgreenbergmusic. Thank you.